Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson. A reminder, if you are listening to the show and you're enjoying it, please do subscribe. Please do listen to the show. Listen every week. Tell your friends, your family, people you don't even like. You're like, you know what show I like, even though I don't like you. It's Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson. And Mike, you're here. John Baff is here. But Mike, firstly, hello to you. How are you feeling? How are you getting on?
I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, they've let me out. They're I'm making my mark in the world again.
What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Very
indeed,
odd thing to
it's
say.
Like marking your territory, going around peeing on things, are you?
Yeah, it means I can walk down to the shops, and but my evaluation from the consultant has been put off from it was supposed to be Monday. It's been put off till next Friday. Which to me is a good sign because it means that they're not worried that something bad's going to happen in the next week. So we'll find out what the prognosis is for the future then. But I'm feeling good. Still a little tired, but that's also kind of a good sign because I'm trying to do too much, you know. And
you're looking well, I have to say.
Yeah, the beard really suits me. You can't really see it, but because I've lost so much weight.
What were you doing for the last like 7 years of this show, not wearing a beard? You should have had a beard the whole time.
Well, I'm not convinced by that. And the beard may go before any certain given Sunday. But I've lost a lot of weight, so my face is thinner, and that suits a beard better because, you know, unless you're going to grow a big old Noah's Ark kind of beard, you know, like John, you know, John's got a nice slim face, you know, good bone structure and all.
The man fucks. That's all I'm going to say.
You wouldn't say that on the Betfair show, Kieran.
When we get to predictions, when we get to predictions, you can add up to that that line.
All right. Well, look, we leave John's fuckability for a few minutes there, and
For a few minutes, we'll come back to that later.
Yeah, I want to talk about some divisions and run through some odds as we head. You know, Thanksgiving just around the corner, business end of the season. AFC North 1-3 now about the Baltimore Ravens, real turnaround, and obviously with Lamar and Derrick Henry kind of shaking off the shackles a bit. His yards per carry and stuff is kind of coming in, and obviously the Steelers and Bengals and Browns are not doing a lot. Big sort of surprise, I'd say, in the AFC South. The Indianapolis Colts are now 1-4 favorites. Houston Texans 14-1. The Jags are floating around there at 7-2 as well. Again, AFC East, mental. New England Patriots 2-5. The Buffalo Bills 15-8. 750-1 about the Dolphins and Jets. AFC West, again, massive surprise, got to say. Denver Broncos 3-10 to win the AFC West. The Chargers are 5-1. The Chiefs are 6-1. NFC North, Packers 11-8. Detroit Lions 11-8. The Bears 10-3 with a better record than both. 10-3 about the Bears and Vikings 66-1. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, finally, we actually get one that we probably would have said at the start of the season. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 1-9 for the NFC South. The NFC East I'm looking at it, can't be right. There's something wrong with their website.
But if it says the Giants, it can't be.
Well, all it has is the Cowboys 50s, the Commanders 750, and the Giants 750-1. So I don't know the price.
The other one is the Jets. Let's just
the Eagles have to be one. Like, let me think. If the others are 40, if there's a 50, oh my god! It's actually not offering anything. That's why it's not available because it's just not. There's no point. Rams 4-11. Probably would have said that. Although Seattle and San Fran are going decent, like. Right, of all of them, like there's a lot there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Probably only three favorites from the start of the season are actually walking. And John, I'm going to come to you first because I know you're surprised about the AFC West because the Denver Broncos are 3-10, the Chargers 5-1, the Kansas City Chiefs, who of course were in Super Bowl, I mean, last three seasons, won it twice. Yeah. Everyone's sort of favorite. And on the show, we're always like, oh, the Chiefs will be there, thereabouts. But they're 6-1 to win the AFC West now.
Yeah, they're in trouble there. I don't think anybody really foresaw this kind of really strange thing going on in Colorado at the moment, with the Denver Broncos riding an eight game winning streak for a 9-2 overall record. And again, we've talked about it on previous shows in the last week or two as well, that they're on this 9-2 record, and by the law of averages, they shouldn't be 9-2. That they've had some strange games, I would say. I think they're I think I saw a stat during the day that like. I'm not going to remember exactly what the figure was, but they have the highest number of drop passes in the league of all of the teams, and they're still 9-2, as we say. So, and again, with Bo Nix being a little bit hot and cold, we talked about the phrase "bovethrow" a couple of weeks ago, I remember, and you have guys like Cortland Sutton, who's a guy who's playing pretty well out there as well. But I mean, it seems like Troy Franklin is getting most of the looks from Bo Nix, and they're obviously college teammates from back in their day as well. So it's interesting to see what's going on in Denver. But the more interesting thing, I think many of us would say, is the 5-5 Chiefs. Now, I saw an interesting stat during the week, Kieran, which you might enjoy to hear. They prior to this season, they had a 17-game winning streak when the game was decided by less than a score. So they won 17 in a row. This year, they're 0-5 in one score games. So I don't know if that talks about game management. I don't know if that's, you know, literally just them losing some pieces in their skill set or in their skill positions, players getting older, Travis Kelce 36. But the other argument that I've seen people talk about that seems to be quite prevalent now is that they're just kind of regressing to the mean. Like, no team should be able to command a 17 winning streak of less than or of a game that's decided by less than one score. But
yeah,
the Chiefs pulled it off for a long, long time, and now what is so interesting is that none of those situations are going in their favor. So look, it's the bounce of a ball, it's zigging when you should have zagged, it's all sorts of different things, game of inches, blah blah blah. You could come up with a million different cliches, but for some reason this season it's just not clicking for the Chiefs, and all those little things that used to kind of slip in their favor, the little Andy Reidisms, the fact that you have Patrick Mahomes, who can be a magician from time to time, those things just aren't functioning properly. Why? I have absolutely no idea. Maybe Mike has an idea of what's going wrong.
Well,
there.
They call it the plexiglass principle. When you look at those statistical anomalies, and then they bounce back, they regression to the mean. I think you said it's perfectly natural. You can't control it forever, and you know, eventually you start making mistakes. Your players start aging. You lose a couple of guys. I mean, last year's was amazing because they had comparatively so little talent to work with on the offensive side of the ball, and their defense was carrying them. And this year they've got more talent, but no one's carrying them offensively or really defensively. Chris Jones has had a very quiet year up front for them, and you know, and no one's really stepped up to replace it.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Now, they are still four favorites for the actual AFC, Bills 7-2, Colts 4-1, Broncos 5-1, Chiefs 5-1, Ravens 11-2, 6-1 about the Patriots there. Mike, just on surprises, AFC, are you more surprised at right now, when we stand into double digits now in games for the season, that the Indianapolis Colts are overwhelming favorites for the AFC South, or that the New England Patriots are overwhelming favorites for the AFC East?
You have to say the Patriots. Although, if you look at the bigger picture, it wouldn't surprise me. What would surprise me more is the Colts being such short odds for the AFC, more so than the Patriots, because that's a weak division, and you could assume that the Colts could come ahead of the Texans. Well, especially because at the start of the year, the Texans appeared to be rebuilding. But you would never assume that the Patriots were going to come ahead of the Bills, not in your wildest dreams. And they still could. I mean, you know, I keep saying, you look at their schedule, they've got Buffalo again. But they could realistically finish 13-4. And Buffalo's let a couple of other games go, notably Miami. You know, that it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they finish that way. Or if not, then they become like the top wild card team.
Yeah. Well, the Patriots, Patriots are in the postseason, unless there's a dramatic.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Don't do that. All right. Yeah. NFC North, finally, just very quickly, Packers, Detroit Lions, Bears, 11-8, Packers, 11-8 Lions, Bears with the better record at the moment, 10-3. Who's coming out of that on top? Anyone?
I still think the Lions. I think they're the best team in the division, and I think the Bears have Green Bay twice and the Lions once. And I don't see them coming out with more than one win from those three games.
Yeah, I'd agree with that one.
Bears play the Browns as well, Bob.
Yeah,
They
well,
happen in Denver. Yeah,
that's
what's
same.
really interesting though is that you see like the Chiefs in the betting for the division third on the thing, but you still see the Chiefs favored in virtually every game that they play. They could be 5-5 and playing Indianapolis, and they're 3.5 point favorites.
Yeah.
Should point out in terms of the NFC conference winner, because I did the AFC, the Rams are 5-2, the Eagles are 5-2, the Lions are 11-2, Seattle is 6-1, 15-2 about Packers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 12s, and it is 14s bar. So it's a little bit, you get a little bit longer odds than some of them for the NFC. The AFC still 7-2, 4-1, fives, and then you got Ravens. I don't see the Ravens do much. Patriots, and then it's double figures. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Now, most people will be listening to this on Friday morning, but we should touch because we're recording at 8 o'clock now, 8:01. Welcome to the past. Ooh, what happened last night? But the Buffalo Bills. You both think that's very funny, seemingly. The Buffalo Bills. If you're just waking up, the Buffalo Bills played Houston Texans last night. We're
Yeah, so
talking
check the
for
score.
30 seconds, but you should go on Google or check your Sleeper or NFL Fantasy app or whatever. But if you didn't know, the Buffalo Bills were 2-5 to win the game, and the Houston Texans were 21-10. The handicap was 5.5, and the over was 44.5. Very briefly, Mike, we'll just get you on this because we'll move on. But what happened last night? Who ended up winning the game for those who are listening on Friday morning? What's it like Friday morning? Is it going to be as cold as people say? But anyway.
I think Josh Allen sprung to life last night and took the Bills to a win. But Houston may well have covered the 5.5, which is down from 6. I was looking at the under on this, and that went down all the way to 43.5, and it's back up to 44.5 now. So, I think that's a pretty good shout because A, Houston's defense is really good. B, they can't really take advantage of the fact that Buffalo's defense has been very shaky, especially against the run. I don't think Karl Marx is going to pick up enough yardage to take advantage of that. And of course, Davis Mills is at quarterback for Houston, and he's relatively okay, game manager type, you might say. They could do worse as a backup quarterback, but I mean that to me would be the under would be the bet, the safest, I think, bet. But then,
Okay.
what do I know?
Well, we won't lead with that every week. The Sunday's action looks
Your name
cracking,
is in the
as we
title of the
wondered
show, Mike.
about that new. Yeah, really, it's not ideally what we wanted to make. Let's start with the Colts Chiefs, two teams we've already talked about. Indianapolis Colts take on Kansas Chiefs. Colts coming off a bye. Just to let you know, 6-4 about the Colts. Kansas City Chiefs rate 15, 3.5 spread, 49.5 is the over under. John, do you think, obviously, the Colts were away in Germany for the international game, which they won, but you kind of felt like they maybe didn't want the bye week because they've been a bit of a train recently, just led by Jonathan Taylor. Thomas.
Or our Lord and Savior Daniel Jones, one of the two. Yeah, I mean, there's not much better games on the slate this week than this one, if I'm right in saying that one, obviously. And yeah, this is a game. I feel like we could talk, if this game was happening last season, we would sort of invert the way we talk about this, and we'd be talking about the Chiefs the way we're kind of talking about the Colts this season. But that's football. That's how it goes. That could be the name of the show as well. You know, that's football with Mike Carlson.
We've
Anyway.
already decided the football as well.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know, this is it's interesting because it's the two teams sort of, they seem to profile at least as two of the league's kind of best offensive units. Now, if you just look at some of the metrics, that's kind of what that says. But at the same time, we've spent a couple of minutes at the top of the show talking about how Kansas City are kind of a stuttering version of what they used to be. They're clearly a team. I don't know if this is a prolonged long-term decline or something, or is this just the batteries running a little bit low after season of great success. But yeah, I think this will be a tough game for Kansas City, and I think this is we're approaching sort of must-win territory now for the Chiefs, particularly given just the playoff picture in the AFC at the moment. Like, it's going to be very, very difficult, nigh impossible, I would say, to catch up with Denver, presuming Denver don't have some sort of dramatic collapse in the tail end of the season. But yeah, the Chiefs are in kind of a similar position, I think, to the Ravens, two teams who kind of endured some very, very under par starts to the seasons, that the margin for error now is extremely, extremely small. And this is the type of game they have to win. But unfortunately, Kieran, as you mentioned at the top there, they're playing one of the most informed teams in the league at the moment. The Colts are first in offensive DVOA, first in EPA per play. They're second in success rate. They're a very good team, as you, Kieran, you will know from having Jonathan Taylor Thomas in your fantasy football team.
So just be clear that it's not obviously his
JTT.
name, but that's the kind of a joke that we have about it. But anyway, I
Yeah,
think it's
so
hilarious, but anyway.
he's having a fantastic season, and it just seems that all the pieces are there for this team to continue to prosper. Like, I love the tight end. Like, we're going back to fantasy. No one cares about our fantasy teams, but I have Tyler Warren on mine, and I've just been so impressed with his rookie season this year. He looks like he's going to be a big player in this league for many, many years. And I just think the Colts just have much more about them at the moment. And look, as we have seen, this Kansas City Chiefs struggles somehow, surprisingly, but they're struggling, the stats say, in games that are tight, games that are close. And this game would appear to be a very, very tight game. And all the evidence we have so far this season says that the Chiefs will more than likely come up short in this one. But again, it's the Chiefs, and I've long had a huge problem about betting against Patrick Mahomes, but essentially that's kind of what I'm advising this week.
Especially at home, it's really difficult to see them losing two in a row at home. I went with the Chiefs last week based on Andy Reid coming off a bye where he's had fantastic success over the years and being at home. And they still lost, and they couldn't really generate much offense against Denver. And granted, Denver's probably a better defensive team than Indianapolis, but Indianapolis is pretty strong, even though DeForest Buckner is out. And that to me would be the one bright light. But Andy didn't really run the ball last week. Most of the running was done by Hunt, by Kareem Hunt. And at times he looked good, but at times he got stopped. And I just like the balance of the Indianapolis team. Offensively, no big names, but Tyler Warren, is going to be a big star. I think you're absolutely right. Apart from Jonathan Taylor and Indiana Jones, who
Yeah, Quentin Nelson's technically an offensive player. Well, he isn't. He's clearly an
that's
offensive. Yeah.
true. That's true too. He's played. He's had a really great season. He's been a really great player too. So yeah, I can't really argue with you. It's so tempting to take Kansas City at home giving 3.5, but I don't think I make the same mistake twice, which is probably stupid because it probably only is a mistake once.
Okay. The at 25 past nine or 26 minutes past nine, depending on how technically you want to be, the Philadelphia Eagles head to everybody's favorite, your Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles are 8-15. The Dallas Cowboys are 6-4. 3.5 is spread. I should say that it is 3.5 is even money, and plus 3.5 is 4-5. So a little bit of a lean towards Dallas, and that could change to three based on that. 47.5 is the over under. Now, Mike, I'll come to you first on this because, right, we have seen, and it's probably been a kind of a thing that's happened over the last few years, and it's certainly happening this season, that Dallas are, what we call in racing a bit of a flat track bully. That they're kind of two versions of them. There's the one that travels and the one that's at home. And I suppose they're not really a flat track bully then necessarily, because that would mean that they're only beating opponents that are less than them. And
So
obviously
we're
the
dropping
Eagles
that
roll into
analogy,
town.
are we? Are we leaving that analogy out?
While I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking it's possible not the best. But no, we're sticking with it. Fuck it. What I mean is that Dallas at home is a they're a hard thing to conquer. When they're away, you'd be like, oh, not sure about them. So this could be a little bit of a banana skin for the Eagles.
More than a little, I think. Although, having said that, the Eagles' problems this year have been primarily offensive. And, certainly with Howie Roseman's pickups in the last couple of weeks, their defense has become much more solid. And it was already pretty dominant up front. They've tightened the secondary. They've added Jalen Phillips as a pass rusher. It could be bad news for Dak Prescott on that side. But offensively, they've become incredibly pedestrian. And I use that word, deliberately, because I thought I saw a little signs of Saquon Barkley getting that spark back last week, a little bit of explosiveness and quickness on the cuts. But basically, they are unimaginative with the pass game, very deliberate, and they're not running the ball and blocking up front the way they did last year, which was really the key to the whole thing. They kept other teams' offenses off the field. They opened up passing opportunities and lanes by running so well. Barkley was great out of the backfield. I keep screaming that they need to use him and Shipley out of the backfield as receivers more, or lined up as receivers even better, to shake things up. I don't think if they do that, if they did that, that Dallas would be able to stop that very much. But I think in this game, it's going to be the challenge is going to be for Philadelphia to stop Dallas, which I think they can do, pretty well. And then they'll come out with another fairly low scoring game, considering Dallas is, Dallas put up what, 33 last week against the Raiders, but that was the Raiders. And I see this one. What's the over under is 47 and a half. I actually think even with Dallas at home, that the under in this one is in play.
Okay, I'm just looking up because I'm surprised at that because Dallas at home have been, I mean, they've been in some high scoring games this season. Let's just go back here and have a little look, right? Yeah, 33-16 against the Raiders,
Road.
17-27 against the Cardinals. He couldn't call that a high scoring, but then 44-22, 44-22. They've at 44-22 2 weeks in a row. That's weird. 30-27, 37-22, 40-40. 40-37, this is a team that likes to be involved in high scoring games. So of all of those, you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 games, twice it went under. So that's risky, John.
It is.
Risky.
And also, I didn't quite realize this until I looked it up literally as we were speaking, but the Cowboys, do you know, they've only played three home games this year and they played six away games on the road. That's unusual. Surely, is
You
that
usually play most of your away games on the road.
Well, that's not the part I was saying was unusual. But
It's unusual, John.
they've only played three total games in Dallas, and they've got a winning record at 2-1. Anyway, that just strikes me as being quite unusual. Is that not unusual? The Eagles
It's
have
Tom
played
Jones. It's Tom Jones unusual.
the Eagles, who are one place above them, obviously. They're 4-1 at home and 4-1 away. Anyway, I'm probably getting sidetracked here, but I am surprised by that news. Yeah, I think this. Yeah, was there? Sorry, did you ask me a question there, Kieran?
I don't remember the way you've gone. I will say that they are the only team in the. I'm looking right now. They're the only team in the NFL to have only played three home games so far. So
Oh, where'd you hear
it is.
that one? I
It
think, yeah,
is unusual. I
this is
did ask the
interesting.
question. I said, "Is it
Well, that's
is
partly because
local?"
they've got the Thanksgiving home game coming up.
Yeah, that's fair, I suppose. Yeah, I think. I suppose I just want to mention Philly in this one, and I guess what you both were kind of talking about there about, I suppose, their offensive struggles and maybe perhaps the lack of cohesion, and certainly the low scoring games, and certainly like Jalen Hurts is a kind of an enigma of a quarterback in the sense that he's a good player and nobody will deny that. But you look at it, if you go have a look at his stat sheets sometimes the next day, it's like, 14 for 26 for 122 yards kind of thing. Like it's sometimes he doesn't really jump off the page to you. But the other thing to note about the Philadelphia and perhaps those offensive struggles is that many of those games came against pretty damn good defenses. And I don't think many people would accuse Dallas of being a very, very good defense. And in fact, I have written in here they're bottom five in almost all of the main kind of defensive metrics. The run defense is pretty not good. And Barkley has not been having a tremendous season, but you play the field that's in front of you, and odds are that he'll be getting a few more gaps in there when he plays against this Cowboys sort of defensive front and maybe into the box. So that's kind of the interesting thing as well. But I think this game has the hint of a sort of a one that's going to keep the scoreboard ticking over. And I think that's reflected in the 47.5 over under. I'm leaning towards the over in this one. If you look at, like, Kieran, you listed off there a bunch of the Cowboys scores. They're kind of scoring for fun and they're kind of conceding for fun as well. So a 47.5 is like, what's that? That's a 28-20 kind of game. To me, that seems to be incredibly doable. The only thing is whether the Eagles can get up their part of the bargain in this one, but I think the Cowboys will, they'll be this. The game script will likely call for Dak Prescott, who's slinging the ball a lot, and so you can see a bunch of CeeDee Lamb and a bunch of George Pickens receptions, one would expect. But yeah, I think I'd favor the Eagles to win overall, but I think I'd be most confident in the over 47.5.
Okay, so just to recap there, Mike went for the under. I asked you what you think about that. You obviously were not listening. You were counting how many home games Dallas had in your fingers. Then you
Yeah.
forgot the question. Then you went a roundabout way of telling me that you fancy the over. And we're
Yeah,
back to
that's
where we
kind of.
started.
It worked out okay,
It
didn't
did technically work
it?
out.
Yeah. Did I mention that thing about the Dallas home games yet?
Yeah, you briefly touched on it.
Okay, good.
Sunday Night Football. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at the LA Rams. The Bucs are 5-2. The Rams are 2-7. 6.5 is the spread. I think that's moved a little bit. Bucs are even money again. Rams are 4-5 with that 6.5 spread. So again, that is on the verge of tipping, you would say, to six. 49.5 is the over under. What saw a good bit of the sorry, the Buccaneers. Bills game on Sunday, Mike. And they kept plugging away. I think if you look at how the final score, you would, without having seen the game, you would have thought that kind of the Bills ran away with it. But that's not necessarily how it was going, you know, midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, I think it was a closer game than that. And the Bills just they picked up an easy touchdown toward the end, and that made all the difference. And boy, I was torn between the game I did take, and which was the Chiefs, and then taking the over in this one. And I obviously went the wrong way on this, but I think this is another one where the over could be good. And I'm looking at the Rams all of a sudden as being one of the best balanced teams in the league. Because I think their defense has come on very strong very quickly, even though they gave up all those points to Tampa. They're playing pretty good defense, and they know they can put points on the board, which is always a recipe for good pass rushing if you've picked up a lead or something like that. And in Tampa's favor, Baker's still one of the best at getting away from the pass rush. He makes his offensive line look better. So I think I go over in this one. If this spread was seven, I would jump at taking Tampa. 6.5, I'm not quite so sure, but I think Tampa the points is probably a pretty good bet.
A reminder, just I mean, it is interesting to say that the Rams are the current favorites, really, to head to the Super Bowl for as the NFC champions. I'm not sure I subscribe to that, but maybe that's a conversation for another day. John, how do you see this one going?
Well, just on what you said there about the Rams, just very, very briefly, like, you know who's having an absolutely fantastic season? Matthew Stafford. He's having a tremendous season playing under center for the Rams this year. Like, he's, in my opinion, at least, he's inserted himself into the kind of the fringe MVP conversation. And like, he's
Well, he's
just,
not fringe because he's
was he?
basically he was we, Mike and I had a bit of a chat last year, and he was one of the Fabs, along with, I don't know if you noticed, John, Drake May
Oh, I know about yeah. Drake May is he's
and
sort of.
Jonathan Taylor. They're the three. It doesn't look
Is
like it's
Jonathan? Are you
changed
serious about
much.
Jonathan Taylor? Is he up there?
Yep,
Really?
he's their
Wow.
favorite.
First time that would be the first time a running back won MVP since 2006. Who won it in 2006, Kieran? Correct, LaDainian Tomlinson. Well done, Kieran.
Thank you. I'm just going to insert my answer there through the power of editing.
Yeah, I think this is like I'm quite a fan, as maybe regulars would know. I enjoy this Tampa team mostly because I love Baker Mayfield, but I just enjoy the entire Buccaneers team. I think they're fun. Sorry, I'm blanking on the name of the coach. Who's the Bucs coach again?
Bowles.
Bowles. He seems to have this trend, and it certainly happened last year. And I think it's well, certainly last year. I won't go back further than that. But good start, and then for some reason or other, things kind of just shit hits the fan and they just go through this bad run. They're kind of in a little bit of a bad run now at the moment, but last season they emerged from that in the tail end of the season to win, I think, the five of their last six. So that'll, you know, and they've had a bit of a tough run lately in terms of the strength of opposition. And again, this is a very, very difficult game for them as well against the Rams, who, as we say, they're one of the teams that mirror a really, really good offense with a really, really good defense. And that's, you know, that's the basis for any team that's going to look to go deep into the postseason towards the Super Bowl. So the Rams are very well positioned. But this Buccaneers team, I think, just tends to have this X factor situation where they can stay in games quite long. The fourth quarters of Buccaneers games this season have all been pretty tremendously entertaining. And I'm hoping for more of the same. I'm wondering, though, like, I do sort of expect a little bit of resurgence from Todd Bowles and the Bucs this year, particularly if they can get some of their players back. Like, I'm not really sure of the status of Mike Evans, or Mike Evans is gone for the year, I think, isn't he? It's Chris Godwin might be coming back at some point soon, but nonetheless, they have Amika, what was it that
Here we go again.
Egbegbu, as our friend Gronk
Ibuka.
called him. It's Ibuka. But yeah, no, they're playing quite well. In terms of this game, though, look, as much as my heart is telling me that the Bucs can get this done, I just think this is much more of a game for the Rams to kind of show and to demonstrate exactly why they're talked about in such lofty terms towards this point of the season as we really get towards the business end. And like we said, Matthew Stafford is just playing tremendously. And I think this matchup kind of favors Stafford's kind of passing attack the way he plays as well. So strong coaching, I think they give them a bit of an edge in the scheme. So look, I think the Rams will win this one. I think probably by more than a touchdown, to be honest with you.
Okay. Todd Bowles, whenever anything goes wrong, he looks like someone's farted right in his face. Right in
Well, that
his
would be
face.
vitamin
You just watch that though next time. I found the betting, sorry, it took me a little while to find the betting for the MVP. And it has changed a little bit. Stafford 7-5, May drifted out to 9-5. Josh Allen's moved up ahead of Jonathan Taylor. Josh Allen's now 9-2. Taylor's 9-1, so he's moved out quite a few points from sixes. I did say, Mike, last week, it's like he's on a bye, and suddenly everyone will be like, "Oh, forget about him." It's not, you can't, you can't, you can't lose on a bye.
Well, you can.
Well,
He did.
final game very quickly is Panthers San Francisco 49ers 11-4 Panthers. San Francisco 49ers 1-4. 7 points is the spread. Sorry, I moved with Mike there. 49.5 is the over under. I tell you what, Johnny B.
Yes, sir.
You'd be a fucking brave man to touch San Fran -7, if you ask me. But
Why?
because they're just not playing well enough to pull away from a team, even at home, in my opinion.
But what about the Panthers specifically? Because, you know, I think, yeah, they're what are their yeah, their record is pretty decent. 6-5, if memory
Six and five,
serve.
yeah.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, like as you well know, I'm kind of a stats guy. Or I'd always put probably too much weight in stats, in my opinion, to be perfectly honest with you. But what I have down here, the Panthers, obviously, as everyone knows, there's 32 teams in the league, but they're 26th in DVOA, 26th in NYPP, they're 26th in EPA per play, and they're 24th in opponent EPA per play. So they this To have this team at 6-5 record at this point of the season means that they're hugely overachieving relative to their metrics. And that luck runs out. Like, you can't go for a whole season. You certainly can't finish with a winning record with those types of statistics, in this league anyway, unless, you know, barring kind of miracles and all sorts of things. But with the 49ers, I think Brock Purdy's gonna be back, so that should be a
He was last
Oh,
week,
of
yeah.
course. Yeah. So the Mac Jones era seems to have taken a sidestep in this. But I just think, yeah, the 49ers, look, it's not a great season, obviously, for them as well. But look, they're strong in these types of games. I think their defensive front really, really mismatches the Panthers O-line. I think that's going to be one of the key factors in this game. And yeah, like, but for me, as I mentioned at the top of this little spiel, I just think the main story to me in this game is that the Panthers are perhaps a little bit of a mirage in how they're performing this season with their 6-5 record. I think this is a team that should have a losing record, and I think that's going to be demonstrated when they lose to the 49ers this weekend.
Well, I went down to Atlanta last week and Bryce Young threw for 448 yards and three touchdowns. Now, Atlanta was injury riddled as well. And Kirk Cousins was playing. But yeah, I like San Francisco. Seven's tough on this one. I'm not sure they can contain Young, you know, because the defense has so many injuries on it. The linebackers are two guys you've never heard of who both played really well last week, covered the kind of ground that Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner used to cover together last year. So I have some faith there, but it's one of those 6.5. I take the Niners in a shot. 7. I'm not quite so sure, but probably the Niners in this,
Yeah,
and
it's all
probably
in.
under. If they're going to win, they're going to go under 49.5.
Okay, I'll give you about time to think about your best bets. Just a reminder, of
Can I
course.
get a couple of info pieces quickly?
Yeah.
Carry on, Michael.
Pittsburgh, Chicago, 2.5. Chicago's giving 2.5. What's the total points?
44.5.
44.5. New England, Cincinnati. Cincinnati was getting 8.5, and 49.5 was the total.
6.5 and 51.5.
Wow, there's a change. Chase was out. Now it looks like they think Burrow's going to play, I would imagine. And Detroit, the total was 50.
Talk amongst yourself, listeners. 48.5 is now the
Right.
over.
Okay. Okay, cool. Very cool.
Okay, that's all you want. Okay, well, I was just going to remind people to please subscribe if you're enjoying the show and the sheer anarchy of this week's episode for some reason. Nobody's sticking to any sort of a layout. So we go best bets. Mike, give us the results from last week. You can already tell we're pretty
Well,
poor. And I'm in a terrible run because I was like winning streak. But anyway.
yeah. Well, last week, Kieran's winning streak continued
No.
not to show up. He had Seattle and the Rams over 48.5. The game came in at 21-19 for 40, so he's now down to 6-5. I
I
had the
was 6-1,
Chiefs.
so anyway. You're
I
the
had the
Panthers of the
Chiefs
podcast, Kieran.
giving Denver 3.5, which they didn't need. Denver won that one 22-19. So I'm 6-5 as well. And John, who was 7-3, had the over in Washington, Miami at 47-5. That game went to overtime, which gave him a better shot. But of course, he would have needed about 35 points in overtime. And the final was 16-13. So
Yeah,
John has
not a
a
great week.
7-4 record, and Kieran and I have 6-5 records. None of us looking particularly shiny at the moment.
I think we're okay. John, we let you go first because you weren't here last week.
Yeah, cool. I'm pretty sure you can probably guess my one if you really wanted to, but it's the under. I believe it's 37.5 in the Cleveland Browns Las Vegas Raiders game. Two teams with absolutely horrendous offenses, but pretty good defenses, particularly on the Cleveland side of things. But the Raiders can obviously get things done with their defensive front as well. And I don't know if you guys had the pleasure or extreme displeasure of watching Shedeur Sanders play NFL gridiron football last week. So he does not strike me as the type of quarterback, and certainly at this point in his career, who can helm an offense to more than like, certainly more than like 16 points or something like that. So yeah, this one has under 37.5 written all over it. Mike?
I'm surprised Deion Sanders didn't have an NFL ready
Yeah.
on game one. I'm going to go with the under in New England, Cincinnati, under 51.5. Whether Joe Burrow's back or not, I do not care.
Okay. I'm going to go on the over in the Vikings Green Bay Packers game. It's quite low considering the two sides in play, 41.5. Neither are quite good at keeping the ball secure, which could lead to turnovers, pick sixes, whole shebang. And I'd have put it at 44, maybe 45. 41's quite low at the moment for Vikings Packers game. The
I
two
wish
unders and an
J.J.
over.
McCarthy and Shedeur Sanders were going head on head in head on head to head against each other.
I think the over would be a little bit lower than that if that were the case. And that's it for this week's show. Thank you so much to John. Thanks for joining us with a glass of wine as well. I may tell people. I hope you're
I'm very
okay.
sophisticated. I'm very
Very
sophisticated too.
sophisticated red glass of red wine. Mike, no red wine for you.
World traveler, wine
Yeah,
connoisseur.
exactly. You know me, right? Yeah. I'll be at the theater this
Now,
time next week as well, guys. That's a
you're in the
fact.
theater.
Yeah, I'm going to
Really?
the theater.
Fifi LaRue is doing four sets.
I'm a man of extreme distinction, as you all know.
You are. What a man indeed. And look, it just goes to show the man fucks, as we started off with. So much like John's fuckability, we'll be back next week with another episode of Any Given Game Day with Mike Harrelson. We hope you enjoy the weekend. A cracking weekend awaits. Some great games, some good bets there for you. Let's get some winners. Bye for now.